When we had a little girl, we called her Callie Ann. Ann for Kim's middle name. And it sounded a lot like Golly Ann, Callie Ann. And we were living in Asia, but it was also an English name. As we told the Cambodians, oh, they just loved that. They thought that was the best. I've often prayed a prayer over her. You know, Lord, maybe she's noble and virtuous. And Callie in English is a Greek name for beautiful. And I would pray, Lord, may she be beautiful inside and out. As you all can see, she's living up to her name. But names can influence who we are. They can have a big part on our behavior. Ask anybody who suddenly started going by the name Grandpa. Suddenly changed. But in the Bible, names have great significance. We were talking with the kids today about Abram, who means exalted father. And then he became Abraham, father of a multitude. Oftentimes in the Bible, names would talk about a character trait or their destiny of the person. It had real symbolic meaning. It was interesting how you can just imagine, what do you mean we're going to name the baby John? Who in the family is named John? But later on, she would get it, and she would communicate to everyone when they wanted to know what to name the child. They would maybe follow Jewish tradition, but no, Zechariah was paying attention to what the angel said at this point. And he was named John. God is gracious. Luke 1:57 describes the scene. I'll read it to you. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about all through the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with them. Each name in our story has very significant meaning, and they all contribute to the passage we're looking at. Zechariah means God remembers. God remembers. Great name. Elizabeth means God is my oath. God is my oath. Basically, God's one who promised. And John means God has been gracious. And Elizabeth, John, and Zechariah all would play a role in the birth and life of Jesus the Messiah. And their names give us the clues to what God is up to, that God is going to remember, God is going to keep his oath, and God is going to be exceedingly gracious. It's amazing that God did remember his prayer. He did remember to send a Savior. And he listened to Zechariah. When an oath was made that you will have a baby, that's what came to pass. And when God says something, it does happen. And of course, with the birth of John, that would be a sense of God's graciousness to them as well as to us. Well, before we see Zechariah sing and praise to God that he's finally a dad, we're going to go back to the beginning of the story. And that's going to give us a little insight into their names again. We'll go back. We'll be in Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at how God remembers, how God keeps his word, and how God shows his graciousness. In Luke 1:5-7, we read, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. This gives us a little insight into them. Zechariah came from a priestly background, and he married a woman who was descended from priests. Priests were held in very high honor, and then this was like a double honor, a priest marrying into priestly family. That was really something. They were noted, for examples, of being very godly, very devoted. They were doing all the right things. And yet, life was hard in some areas, because they wanted a child. And there was great social stigma if you couldn't have children at that time. Elizabeth was barren. The word barren can be referred to the womb as unfruitful or to land that doesn't produce anything. And they were advanced in years. From an earthly standpoint, they were not having children. And there was great shame in this in their culture. And many people might have wondered, I wonder what sin they've committed. On the outside, they sure look good. Everything looks great. They're saying their prayers. They're going to the temple. He's fulfilling all these different things. But what's going on in their lives? But the Bible clearly says they were right with God. And to associate infertility with sin is not right. That was not the case with them, and it's not the case now. The reality was, though, there was pain, and there was longing, and there was hurt in their lives. And many times, a barren womb was kind of equated with death. And in some ways, Elizabeth might have been feeling like, I'm as good as dead. I can't have a baby, and I'm almost ready to pass away anyway. I'm so old. It may have seemed like a death sentence. But God is up to something. God is my oath. What an interesting name her parents had given her all those years ago. And with Zechariah too, God remembers. And probably his father was named Zechariah, and so on and so on, and way back when. But God was up to something. He was going to bring something their way they never could have imagined. And she was about to join the ranks of women like Sarah and Hannah, who also had children in old age. Hannah would have Samuel, and Sarah would give birth to Isaac when she was 90 and Abraham was 100. If you go back to Genesis 21, we read how Sarah and Abraham's story is very similar. Some of you are getting close to 90. Imagine you about almost pregnant. That would be exciting, eh? Genesis 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of a son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Abraham was 100 when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who could have said to Sarah, Abraham, that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in my old age. Sarah's womb no longer was equated with death and barrenness. Now is a place of life. God's creative power had come upon her. And now there was life about to arrive. And soon the same thing would happen to Elizabeth and in Zechariah's life. In Galatians, Paul talks about how conception is kind of related to the notion of resurrection. It says, for as is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. God had made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. He also made a promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth. God remembered, he kept his oath, and he was about to show his gracious hand. But it wasn't just to them, but it was to all of us. We continue their story in Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Zechariah was an old priest who also served as a member of the priestly division known as Abijah. Way back in King David's time, hundreds and hundreds of years before, he had organized the priests into 24 different divisions, and they would serve in rotation. The 8th division was that of Abijah. And hundreds of years later, when Zechariah is born, he's born into that line, and this is his role. Well, each of these 24 divisions would rotate. Evidently, the Hebrews had kind of a 48-week calendar, something like that. And they would come for a week, they would perform their duties, then they'd go home for 24 weeks, and then they'd come back. And twice a year, they would come to Jerusalem, if they didn't already live there, and perform the duties required of the priests. Scholars estimate there were maybe 20,000 priests at the time, 24 divisions, and so every division had hundreds and hundreds of priests. Well, one of the special tasks they would do is they would go into the temple in the morning, late afternoon, and there would be burning of incense on the altar in the holy place. And to determine which priests would go in there, because some were outside butchering animals and preparing the sacrifices, but one was able to go inside. And I don't know how they drew lots to do this, but imagine if you've been in a lottery, you've got hundreds of names in there. Who's going to be decided? Looks like it's Zacharias, our lucky winner. Come on down. You're the guy to go in. And this probably was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, Exodus 30 gives us a description of what it would have been like there and what he would do in the temple. It says, "You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its side and horns. You'll make a molding of gold around it, and you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding on 2 opposite sides you shall make them. And they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you'll put them in front of the veil that is above the Ark of Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony." I love this. And then he says, "Where I will meet with you." So this intricately crafted, beautiful objects are there. And then it goes on to say what Aaron would do. It says, "And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering through the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron will make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, he shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord." Well, this is what Zechariah was chosen to do. And so in he goes, and we pick up in verse 11, and there, while he's in this whole, the holiest of holy places at the temple, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard.'" Wow. "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the power and spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." I'm just imagining as the angel is saying, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you. You're going to have a baby." He would have had the biggest angelic smile you've ever seen. And he would have been smiling as he's telling this. And then he waits. And then Zechariah asks the questions, and suddenly he's got this angelic frown that I would not want to be in the presence of. That's not in the book, but I'm imagining. Zechariah says to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is old too." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel." And I imagine this was the angel's unfriendly voice. "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring this good news. But behold, you're going to be silent and unable to speak until the day these things took place, because you did not believe my words." And they weren't just his words. They were the words of God, which will be fulfilled in this time. Oh, man, the good news had a rough edge to it. You know, in some ways, it seems like Zechariah kind of gets a rough deal. The angel says, "You're going to be a daddy." He doubts, "I'm an old man." He goes, "Fine, you can't speak." In a real sense, he is put in time out. You know, sometimes with kids, you say, "You're going to have to sit in the corner," or "You go to your room for 5 minutes. For a little kid, you know, that's a long time. But well, what happens to Mary? One chapter later, "You're going to be a mama." And she gets a free performance from the angel choir. But the difference is Mary had questions. She knew she'd been pure. She was doing everything right. And she had questions. "Well, Lord, how is this going to happen?" But there was a sense of trust. Zechariah, on the other hand, is like, "I'm old. She's old. We tried already. Not going to work." But he's going to have time to think about it. But here is a story about God's deliverance, about his rescue for those who call on upon him. And Advent, the term means waiting. It's waiting for the arrival of God who had promised a Savior. Well, this is God following through on his promise, remembering. This is God bringing a people in darkness into light. This is God being gracious to those who don't deserve it. For years, Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed for a child of their own, and they'd given up on that. They had probably prayed for years for a Messiah. After all, the Lord had not spoken in Israel for 400 years, and probably generation after generation just said, I guess he's not coming. I guess God's not doing it. But God is going to answer both prayers. You're going to have a baby, and he's going to get ready for the one to come. And it's so amazing. They were a faithful married couple who hung in there, just like Abraham and Sarah had so long ago. Abraham and Sarah had to wait a long time. Zechariah and Elizabeth had to wait a long time. And sometimes we have to wait for things. I know I've sometimes said, why, Lord? And I've also sometimes said, when, Lord? There's times God makes us wait. I didn't get married till I was 30. I thought I was, is this ever going to happen? Maybe you had to wait for a job opportunity or a promotion or retirement. Maybe you've had to wait till the stock market's gone up so you can take some money out to do something. Maybe you've had a long wait in recovery from illness. You trusted God, but it's like, when are you going to come through? Well, Moses had to tend sheep for 40 years. Then Joshua had to wander in the wilderness for a long time. Simeon, later on after the birth of Jesus, was told to wait at the temple for the promised one to come. And eventually, he got to see the baby Jesus. Well, Elizabeth and Sarah have had to wait a long time until they were old. But when the answer came, not only were Elizabeth and Zechariah given a child, but they were given a special one. And he was to play a role like Elijah, one of the greatest prophets. In fact, Isaiah wrote this about him. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Malachi said, behold, I send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And John was that Elijah. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers. This is the message Zechariah was given. And then he shared with his wife, and then the whole nation knew something was going on. And now we know. The next thing you know is Zechariah is playing charades. Can you imagine trying to act this out? Okay, I was in the temple, and I was just lighting the candles and the incense when all of a sudden this big angel comes, you know. I don't know how you pantomime an angel. And he begins to tell me all these things. He says, God is happy, and he's going to bless you with a child. And, you know, Zechariah's trying to pantomime this. And the people were wondering, what in the world is going on? Because there were stories in the Old Testament of those who had offered unauthorized offerings, and they had died. Things weren't good, you know. When the Lord's wrath broke out in the temple, it wasn't a good thing. But really what his role was, he was supposed to come out of the temple, and then he was going to give them the high priestly prayer that Aaron had prayed. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And that's what would happen. They'd come out and pronounce this, and it would be grand. And with that amen, everyone went home. But instead, he comes out, and it's just not the same. Have you ever gotten tongue-tied, or you suddenly totally lose your train of thought? Deer in the headlights, goofy grin on your face. That's what it would have been like for him. They're all waiting, and they're waiting. And he doesn't clear his throat. He doesn't say anything. And meanwhile, he's making all these signs. And you can just imagine, it's like, what in the world went on in there? But they know that he had been an angel that appeared to him. But he went to his home, and after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach. Soon it became clear that God had remembered them and that God was at work. And when he'd said, you're going to have a baby, yes, it happened. And their child would be the forerunner to the Most High. He'd come to deliver his people just as he promised. Zechariah, God remembered. Elizabeth, God is my oath. John, God is gracious. Think about this. Do you have a situation in your life where you are wondering, does God remember? Does God pay attention? God, I know it's little old me, but I'm one of your children. And you don't forget your kids. Remember, God does not change. He doesn't forget. And if you're wondering, what about the promises of God that he's made to you? You'll always be with me. You will help me. You will be an active presence. You'll be my refuge. Lord, I'm not seeing this. Remember, God is my oath. He will keep his word. God is still the God who keeps his covenant. In men's breakfast, we talked about crossing of the Red Sea. The Israelites were between the sea and Pharaoh's army. That was a rough spot. At their greatest need, the Lord is about to say, stand still and watch the salvation of God. And this is what Elizabeth and Zacharias saw. When their hope was all but gone, this never would happen. They wouldn't have a child, and is the Messiah ever going to come? God steps in. And what a baby he was going to be. God settled him early according to our timetable, but I've always heard he's never late. Peter said the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises. It may be whatever you're facing, it's not time yet. You know, it wasn't until Caesar Augustus was getting ready to issue a census that it was time for Jesus, the Messiah, to come. So let me encourage you. In the meantime, will you trust? Will you cling to God's character? Will you let him guide and lead? Will you let him do things his way? God is still doing things. Like Zechariah, we've got to remember that God remembers. And after Zechariah waited, he could sing. Like Elizabeth, we've got to recall God keeps his word. When she brought that to mind, she could praise him. And like John, we can remember God is gracious, and he's poured that out on us, and we can be grateful. So let this Christmas season, keep in mind these names and know God remembers your situation. He will keep his word to you, and he has been and will be gracious as well. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, things were a little sticky for a while for Zechariah, but you more than made up for it. You were good to him, and you cared for him, and you used this man who kept plugging along to do amazing things. We thank you that you are that same God. Help us to rejoice in you. In your name I pray, amen.